This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to have a discussion about healthcare, real estate, healthcare investing, a whole number of different things related to the world of healthcare as it applies specifically to sites and locations and real estate and more. I'm joined by Colin Carr. Colin, can you take a second to introduce yourself and tell the audience what you do?
Absolutely. I appreciate the chance to be here. I am the founder and CEO of Carr. And we are a commercial real estate firm that specializes in representing healthcare and corporate tenants and buyers. We have offices in about 35 states across the country, and we touch several thousand transactions per year.
It's fantastic. It just first, before I ask you about the big trends in healthcare real estate, because it seems to go back and forth between people, lots of sites, wanting less sites, wanting to be every place on the map versus wanting to consume costs and do more, you know, over one site. Before we talk about some of those trends, you've built a great company. Just a moment on how you got it started and what's driven you to build such a great company.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started in real estate when I was 19. I started managing apartment complexes and multifamily complexes in the greater Lansing, Michigan area. Worked in that area for a couple of years, moved to Colorado in my early 20s. Kept along those same lines, you know, mid-rise, high-rise apartment complexes near the downtown Denver market. I got my broker's license when I was 23 and started touching deals like Walmart, Wendy's, Blockbusters, mostly large national retailers, and got exposure there. Started working a few years later on more traditional office products, industrial, and so I got a chance to see a very broad spectrum of real estate. And just a number of years after that, started noticing the need for a focus in the healthcare sector, and started going after healthcare providers, and a couple deals turned into a couple dozen deals and went from there.
Well, great. Let me ask you a question. Michigan State fan or Michigan fan?
Michigan State.
Got it. I heard the East Lansing part of your background. I was just curious. The next question is, what are the big trends in real estate today, in healthcare real estate? Are people still building a lot? Are they just leasing and refurbishing old stuff? A quick sense of what's going on.
Yeah, to me, I mean, we touch a couple thousand deals per year for healthcare providers across the country. So we have what I believe is a very good pulse in the market. And we're finding more and more owners of practices having the desire to own real estate. You know, as margins get squeezed, as reimbursements get reduced, you know, people are looking for a chance to increase their profitability, their revenue in any way they possibly can. So, you know, while you see people going towards imaging or other ancillary services, we're doing a lot to educate healthcare providers on just how strong of an investment owning commercial real estate can be. And so we're seeing a lot of individual owners, larger practices, group practices, having the desire to diversify and own real estate as another asset base or revenue stream.
Well, fantastic. And what's the typical makeup of what they're investing in terms of commercial real estate? Is it an office with imaging attached? Is it a big office building, or is it their own condo? What are they investing in? Are they building it from the ground up, or are they buying something that's already in existence?
Really, everything you just mentioned. I mean, we see all those transactions. You know, we're seeing a lot of owners that are realizing that the market is going to shift at some point. The economy is going to change at some point. And so a lot of people that we're working with today are trying to make sure they don't bite off more than they can chew. And so, you know, buying an individual office condo that fits your needs, whether that's a couple thousand feet or 10 or 15,000 square feet, or building a building that maybe has a couple extra spaces there, is a lot more manageable than trying to bring 10 or 15 or 20 providers together and putting up an 80 or 100,000 foot building. And so we're definitely seeing those multi-group buildings going up that have a lot of specialties there and a lot of coordination with what the uses are. But, you know, for every, you know, one, you know, 50 to 100,000 foot building you see go up, there are, you know, hundreds or literally thousands of, you know, groups buying individual buildings that just fit their needs, because the strength of that investment or the risk of that investment is predicated upon if they're going to be there. And so you remove a lot of the risk when it's just you that you're betting on.
Gotcha. So you're not trying to build a 30,000 square foot building where you're going to use 5,000 and try and rent out the other 25,000. And if you do, you want to make sure that it's all rented out on the front end or very close to all of it on the front end, so you don't get stuck with it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people still have memories of the 2001 correction, 2007, 2008 correction. And although the market is just absolutely thriving right now, the market will correct at some point. So the idea of building, you know, a Class A medical office building or a large complex on speculation is something that we personally don't recommend, because you just don't want to get caught holding the bag on that one. So if you're looking at your needs plus a little more, you know, whether it's you occupy half or three fourths of the building, yeah, that's a pretty safe investment and gives you the chance to grow, expand in the future if you need to, gives you a chance to diversify and add some additional tenants or buyers. But it's a manageable size versus trying to put together some very large complex where you need, you know, 10 or 1500 people to cooperate with you.
And is it a lot of building close to a local health system, or what's the trick or thought on location that you need for your, if you're building this or investing in it as a small physician practice or a larger physician practice, what's the trick to where location should be?
You know, we definitely see groups that are looking to be close to health systems, and that's really their driving force. I would say more than that, though, we're finding groups that are trying to cover the market and cover what they believe is the share of the market that they're trying to go after. And so, you know, whether that's a group that's focusing on a certain portion or a certain quadrant of a metro area where they want to have, you know, three or four locations that are spread out evenly to, you know, to fully blanket a specific portion of the market. I guess to answer the question, I see more people that are trying to be located in strategic areas to reach the masses of people. And if they're close to a hospital system, that's great, but that's not usually the driving force for most of the groups that we see.
Gotcha. So much more being in the right population, the right population center. And then another question, is it specialists? Is it primary care physicians? Who are the most likely sort of investors in healthcare real estate that want to own their own place? What's the typical, is there a typical demographic of it, or is it really everybody?
You know, specialists certainly have an attraction to owning real estate. And again, I think it depends on the market. It depends on if you're talking about individual owners or larger groups. But I'd say that the largest segment is going to be specialists.
And how does hospital employment and hospital control impact all of this? Is that a big impact on physicians' ability to own real estate? I mean, I take it once the hospitals employ them, if that's the route they go, they're less in that game. Is that a fair statement or not necessarily so?
Yeah, I would say so. I think the more that, you know, it depends on if they're fully employed there or partially employed. You know, we see it expanding and retracting. I mean, we see people joining hospital systems. We see people leaving hospital systems. And so, you know, as a whole, there's definitely some specialties that lend themselves more to being independent and not being relied upon or not relying upon a hospital system for employment. And, I mean, you get into, you know, plastics, derms, orthopedics, pediatrics. I mean, there's a lot of specialties that are part of hospital systems, but also tend to be more independent. And we're seeing a lot of independents group together. We see a lot of business organizations that are partnering with physician groups as well and running the business side of it, letting them stay independent and own a portion of the practice. And so a lot of specialists, though, are looking to own real estate outside of hospital systems.
100%. And then what about some of these done as joint ventures with hospitals? You don't really see much of that. This is really independent physicians, independent groups, buying, owning the real estate, sometimes in bigger office buildings, but often in smaller projects that really take care of themselves. And then when they go to sell these, I mean, there's a lot of groups that want to buy these from physicians in a buy leaseback type relationship, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a very large market for investors that are trying to invest in medical or healthcare facilities, whether that's single tenant, multi-tenant, it doesn't matter. There's more money sitting on the sidelines to purchase real estate right now than there ever has been in the history of the world. And that number just continues to increase. And, you know, there's premiums with construction costs. There's premiums with, you know, with labor. And so there's a compression happening right now where there's way more money available right now than can be satisfied for buying investments. So if you are, you know, what most people look at as a blue chip tenant or owner as a healthcare provider, and you have a chance to sell your property to you know, the person that buys your practice in the future, a group that buys your practice, or a third party investor, you're not going to be short of people that are looking to take a run at that property.
Fantastic. And that's really the case. I mean, it's cost so much now to build something that the people that own things have, there's a scarcity of supply. And so it's really a seller's market for people that own good commercial real estate, not necessarily the retail shopping mall, but this medical office stuff where you've got good, like you say, a blue chip tenant. There's really a great market to sell that. And there's just a ton of these REITs that have so much money, or investors that have so much money that want to put to work on it and can't find those yields and bonds and treasuries and CDs and all that kind of stuff. So this became a big alternative. Virtual health, any thoughts on how virtual health, telehealth, any of those things play into this, Colin?
Yeah, I think it's another avenue for attracting patients and for retaining patients. I think it's great for the market. I personally don't see it making a huge dent on the real estate market, though. I think the majority of people still are going to need to be seen in person, and there's definitely some diagnosis you can do over the phone. There's definitely some preliminary conversations you can have over the phone or over a webinar, and I think that's fantastic. And if you don't need to come in and get a quick answer, that's great. But as a whole, the majority of those practices are still going to have legitimate office space. They're still going to need to see people. They're still doing procedures, obviously, in person. And so I don't see it having a huge impact or dent on the real estate market. And if it does, I think that it's going to get absorbed by new offices opening. And I don't think it's going to be a net absorption where it goes negative, personally.
Got it. And even if it does, it's a long time in the future. And what about the fact that there's sort of a shortage in the long run of the supply of physicians? Does that make it harder? Does that mean a physician that built an office building or owns a property has to sell it before the demographics get tough and there's not someone to sell it to? They need to sell it in the next 5 to 10 years while there's all this money out there to buy this stuff? Or what's the longevity of it?
I don't think you have to sell. I think it's really a personal decision on where you're at the stage of your career. If you want to try to time the market, you certainly can. But to me, you know, whether the market's at its peak or it's struggling, I mean, we've seen quite a bit of both over the last 20 years. And as a whole, healthcare real estate has stayed one of the most desirable asset classes. And I think, you know, if you compare that to, you know, retail or other, I mean, there's some interesting indicators in other areas of real estate, commercial real estate that are showing there's some concerns coming up potentially in some other areas. Healthcare real estate, whether the market's up or down, it stays very strong. And so I guess the answer to that question is, I don't see a need to force a sale in the next couple of years. I think you can ride it 20 years if that's your career path, or you could sell it tomorrow if you want to cash out. It really depends on what you want to do with the money and where you're at in your career.
No, it was fantastic. And this is the kind of thing, a young physician, a middle-aged physician, all of them can do this as long as they intend to have a serious practice and stay in serious practice, because then they have control of the real estate as well as the operations. So they're really reducing the risk on it. I mean, they're sort of in some ways profiting from their own efforts rather than paying rent.
Absolutely. I mean, unless you have a mobile clinic, you know, you're going to have an office space. And so, sometimes leasing does make the most sense. And if you can get some extremely competitive concessions from landlords as far as tenant improvement allowances, free rent, gets you flexibility from size, from location, that's great. But if you know the area you want to be in and you've got the square footage pretty much dialed down and there's viable options to own, I strongly advise you take a look at all your options and then run the numbers and see if it makes sense.
Well, that's fantastic. Colin, it's a pleasure to speak to you. It reminds me of so many conversations I've had over the years about physician-owned real estate and so forth. You know, it's just a pleasure to visit with you and hear the sort of state of the market and what's going on with it. And that it's still a great opportunity for physicians that want to own versus lease. And there's options for them to then exit at some point, too. So, Colin, thank you so much. How do people learn more about Colin Carr and Carr Real Estate? How do people learn more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is carr.us. And that's carr.us. And when you hit that page, the top right of the page has two options. One, you can find an agent. And so if you're in a specific area and you want to start discussions on, you know, what are my options? Should I lease? Should I own? You know, just want to get a free market evaluation. We can do that for you. And there's actually a tab where you can click on it to get a free lease or purchase evaluation. So if you want to see what your options are or how you stack up compared to the market, those two links right there will get you started on both processes.
Well, that's fantastic. Colin, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today. I learned a lot. I know our producer learned a lot, and we hope our audience will love listening to you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time.